Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the best horror movies ever and talk about them. My name is Luke Condor, that's with Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
And our other pretty regular co-host, Mr.
Oh, this is a new bit for me, Andy Conduit Turner. Oh, I should get a shorter name. Yeah, I'm good.
Where does Conduit come from? Like,
That's my wife's half of the name.
Okay.
I have to spell that for people whenever we're booking something. It's like Conduit Turner.
Yeah.
Start to spell the next bit. They go, oh, no, I get it. I can spell. I'm not an idiot.
Well, I have to say Conduit with a K, because even if I say Conduit with a K, people will write with a C. And I'll say, I said with a K. But you have to do Conduit with a C and O and then D-U-I-T.
Yeah.
Whereabouts in the world is it from then? Do you know?
I think, I'm checking on my wife's history.
Irish?
Originally, it's like a French name, but they're from Swindon, so.
Cool. What are you guys up to? Have you seen anything good? Done anything?
Done some stuff.
Yeah, this and that. Apart from watching this week's film, I saw the good folks at Xbox were giving away a free horror-related game this morning. So I downloaded that. It's called Clash of the Monsters. It's all your classic Hammer horror monsters having a little bit of a fight.
Like a beat-em-up.
Yeah, it's not that good.
I think I've seen this. It looks kind of dreadful.
Yeah, it's janky as hell. But you know what? The price was right.
Was the price zero?
Yeah, the price was zero.
Yeah. Did you ever finish Doki Doki Literature Club?
I haven't gone back to it yet. I haven't got round to it, but I will. I am going to finish it. But I picked up a new game the other day, that really sort of 80s looking one. Is it called Crossing Souls? I think it's on Steam. It just came out like last week. It's like it's like an 80s style, very Stranger Things and so on. Right. But sort of like an action-y platformer / puzzly thing. Looks really, really good. The visuals are awesome. Like loads of like 80s throwbacks. So looking forward to getting into that.
Cool. You seen any films? Oh, you've not seen? You've just seen this one that we're talking about today?
Oh, and I saw Black Panther last night. Not horror related.
Okay,
but it was good.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
What did you think?
I think it was pretty great. Like, I do understand the love for it. The only thing I kind of was a little bit disappointed by, but I think such a great cast of characters. Everyone's got something interesting to do. Everyone's got something interesting to say, except Black Panther. I find him... When he's surrounded by so many interesting characters, I think he really suffers. Mm. And because he's a bit like... He's like the strong silent type. And after a while, I was thinking, I like the bad guy.
But in Civil War, Black Panther, I thought, really stood out. It just seemed really interesting.
Exactly. He did. But I think when compared to so many other interesting characters, he did kind of suffer. He fades a bit, especially against like a really strong villain and
Killmonger.
Killmonger, yeah.
Yeah.
Another villain who you kind of understand his reasoning, just the same as you did with Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
So hope, but he's still kind of just like the same as the hero, which obviously Marvel do a lot, don't they?
Yeah, just like the mirrored image.
Basically, just like the same guy in a different suit.
Yeah, different color suit. I've heard. So I saw someone tweeting. I was trying to avoid spoilers, but I saw someone put that there was one line at the end that Killmonger said that kind of was perfectly said, or kind of
The line. His final line of the film. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not trying to spoil anything.
Yeah.
Is like, wow. That's what I felt anyway. I was like, wow, that's a line. You know what I mean? That is a line. That's a line right there.
It is a line. Yeah. But so have you
meaty
seen
dialogue?
Have you seen Creed? Because I remember watching that, and that's also Coogler and Michael B. Jordan. And there's a line in that again, and I was like floored by just one sentence he said, because it's kind of built up.
I've actually seen Creed or Fruitvale Station. But to be fair, almost everything Killmonger said, I was kind of on board with. I mean, he's not a good guy at all, but at the same time,
I was thinking, but he's got a point. He's like a bad Magneto. He's just going the wrong way about it.
Interesting. I watched Big Trouble in Little China for the first time in.
Oh, was it the first time in ever? Or
I don't know. It must have been a really long time, because I only really kind of vaguely remember it. I was like 10 minutes in, and then the lightning dude show up, and I was like, I have no idea what's happening. But it's okay. It's just bonkers. Such an insane film.
Yeah. I think the last time I saw it was probably about maybe a year or so ago. And like, I don't know, like, I think this time before that had been like well over like 15 years, and it didn't age that well for me. It's definitely not my favourite John Carpenter film by a long
time. Yeah, it is other people's favourite, but I kind of like how it is just completely bonkers. But at the same time, this is bonkers. Like, it's both the best thing about it and the worst thing about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't. anything else? You watch anything else?
I don't think so. I think I turned 30 on Saturday, so I've just been kind of drinking.
Oh, yeah. We can't just brush over that, Luke. Happy birthday for the other day.
Birthday. Thank you. You're going to pull a cake out there.
Stop
camera.
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah.
That'd be weird if I just bought you a cake to eat myself. I'm going to blow the candles out.
You don't want a slice? Oh, I'll have yours then.
I'll have yours then. Yes.
You save it for me.
You were horribly drunk, didn't you? Did you run down the street naked?
No, not
with
not this
30
time.
Written on you in Sharpie.
I don't know why, but I just I never planned to get that drunk, but I just kept.
That's what they all say.
Just kept drinking. For some reason, I had like a lime, and I was like convinced that I was going to have like a slice of lime with every single drink. And I used like the sharpest knife we've got, and I was really drunk, so I kept cutting my fingers. It's just like this knife is so sharp; just a tiny little cut will like take a layer of skin off. And the lime juice kept getting in my finger, but yeah, there's blood everywhere. The morning after. My phone it was a horror hangout. The morning after, when I woke up, my phone was covered in dried blood, where I'd been obviously been like bleeding and using it and not really thinking about it too much.
Interesting.
And now I've got nine fingers.
Do you feel 30 though?
I felt 30 for a while. Oh. I felt like the last 5 years I've been 30 and my age has just been like catching up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Physically, yeah, but you're like you're running and stuff. That's not some of the elderly man does.
Yeah.
You can't be feeling that old.
But I've got no hair. So it's like, I can't be that young and have no
hair. You've
got
some hair. There's like a peach fuzz on your head. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So today.
Yeah. So what did I watch? Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. I said Black Panther. It was Valentine's week. So I watched like the films I usually watch around Valentine's Day, which is obviously a. Such a commercial holiday, but still makes me feel the love. So I watched two of my favorites, obviously not horror related at all, but I watched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and 500 Days of Summer, which I think are
two really great films. That's a good double bill, right?
Yeah, that's a great double bill. I did have a precursor, which I watched The Lobster just before that, which is like a weird sort of like...
It's by the guy who made Dogtooth and...
Yeah.
Of a recent one, How to Kill a Sacred Deer.
So I mean, it was really strange, but I think I kind of liked it. So it's like Colin Farrell basically goes through a breakup and has like 48 days to find a partner, but otherwise he gets turned into an animal.
I've had so many people say that that is the exact film I would like. It's like it's kind of like tailor-made to me. I've just never,
yeah,
never been.
Yeah, I'd say that. I'd say that definitely.
Love a film with a time limit. Love a film where someone might turn into an animal.
Yeah. it's sort of like in a weird dystopian future, and Colin Farrell is just like, he's just magnetic in it. It was great, but yeah, really strange, but in a good way. But yeah, Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind and 500 Days of Summer are two films which, like, in terms of concept, it's not too out there, but the way it's kind of like all the cinematography and all the different styles of everything and the performances were all great. So
Eternal Sunshine, although it's not really like a horror film at all, there's some ideas in that I find quite horrifying. Anything to do with memory and that kind of thing really sort of scares me.
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of like, I think it's one of Jim Carrey's best.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like it when he does that kind of more serious role, less kind of more withdrawn. But when, you know, there's the bits where he's kind of pulls someone around in his memory and they've got no face. And everything keeps flipping back and forth.
Yeah,
it's really
It's when he's like running through various memories, trying to save sort of Kate Winslet's character from getting deleted.
Yeah,
it's quite like you think if it was kind of flipped on its head and it had a different soundtrack, it's a bit horrific.
Well, all of like Charlie Kaufman's films have a sort of a humor. It's like a Kafkaesque sort of horror. So it's like humorous in the situation, but it is kind of horrific if you were in that situation yourself. Like, have you seen Being John Malkovich? The idea of finding anal sort of tunnel that sort of goes into John Malkovich.
Into John Malkovich.
Yeah. Synecdoche, New York, have you seen that one?
Yeah, no. I have seen that one, but I'm not a huge fan of it.
Not many people are, but I thought it was amazing.
It is a tough watch, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I maybe watched it on a Saturday night once and I was like, what's fucking going on?
Yeah.
A bit too intense for me.
An adaptation, which had a monster in this. If you read the screenplay, it ended with like a big monster attacking everyone. It's plenty of horror there. Yeah. Okay. I did watch a little bit of something else. I watched a bit of something called The Dark Backward, which I've never heard of it. It was just on Amazon Prime. And it was on the poster had like a picture of Judd Nelson. He looked like Neil Hamburger. Have you ever seen that comedian Neil Hamburger? Like big glasses, greasy hair.
I recognize the name Neil Hamburger.
Yeah, I wonder if Neil Hamburger stole the
story. Oh yeah, yeah.
But so there's a guy. It's a really weird post-apocalyptic dystopian. Again, like sort of Kaufman, Kafkaesque sort of idea about a comedian. Who grows, is like a terrible comedian. He grows, it's got Bill Paxton in it as well, his friend. Bill Paxton's amazing. This comedian grows a third arm out of his back, and suddenly people start finding him funny. It's insane. But there's a bit of, he goes to a hospital to get the doctor to look at his back, and there's like a little baby arm at that point coming out of his back, and the doctor's just putting like a little plaster on it and saying, like, I'm busy, you can't come to me, like little scratches and stuff. It's a fucking little baby's hand coming out of his back.
Put a little plaster on it. Just put a little plaster on it, that'd go away.
Yeah, but that's a weird one. I've only made it halfway through because it's pretty bonkers, but it's free on Amazon Prime, so check it out.
Oh, yes.
Cool. So the film we're talking about tonight wasn't one I was particularly looking forward to, but I will say I did quite enjoy it, actually.
Oh, he's on board.
I was thinking, how long is it until we've got to watch Jaws?
I think it's another 8 movies or so in.
Because that would have been an interesting double bill, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Not for the same episode, but like for back-to-back episodes.
Yeah, yeah. So, Ben, you brought this one up. You wanted to watch this one as a special entry.
Yeah, I think when Andy mentioned about the sequel. Did you mention about the sequel? Or I think maybe you tweeted about the sequel?
I think I saw it on Facebook or Twitter or something like that. I knew the time was right.
And that kind of set me off because this is a film that I kind of watch like probably not every year, but like every couple of years.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those films, you know, you know, when you bond with certain people over certain films.
Yeah.
I like bonded with my mum over this film. So like we kind of go, if this is the kind of film also, if it's on TV, I will settle in and watch it. no matter what part of the film it's at. And I only do that with probably like two other films. So I mean, that says something of Deep Blue Sea. I haven't even mentioned the film name yet, but there we
go.
Deep Blue Sea.
But it was. I think I've seen it twice. I could only remember the Samuel L. Jackson speech, which we'll talk about, because how could you ever forget that?
Yeah.
And also LL Cool J getting stuck climbing out of an oven. And I didn't remember anything else. And I was just like thinking, in my mind, I had, you know, the guys who made 13 Ghosts. I thought it was going to be like a second tier version of like that sort of big budget-ish sort of horror, but like sharks. I've never been a big shark movie fan. But this movie is... it's like comfort food. It's like you could just sort of put it on and like laugh along at the mentalness of it all.
I think it's pretty scary as well. I do think it's pretty scary. Maybe it's just because I'm scared of like the sea and sharks and stuff, but it scares me.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It'll always be, it's kind of thing, if you end up in open water and you can't touch the floor, I always kind of, this pops into my head, Deep Blue Sea, which is horrible.
Do you like
Before Jules as well.
I get kind of freaked out if I go in the water.
Yeah, I get a bit freaked out.
I couldn't see fish and stuff. I had to get out. Get the fuck away from me.
No, I get a bit freaked out, especially when like someone touches your feet, just like Jesus. Yeah.
So Empire normally have like a bit to say about the films that we do. And I found this review from Empire. It says Deep Blue Sea is about giant sharks eating people, and that's exactly what you get. And that's pretty spot on.
And go away with words, those guys at Empire.
So, Andy, what's your history? What year did? 1999.
Okay. Should I do a brief synopsis?
Yeah, go for it.
Go on, do it.
So, it's a 1999 American science fiction horror film directed by Rennie Harlin. So, basically, it's about set on an isolated underwater facility. The film follows a team of scientists and their research on Mako sharks to help fight Alzheimer's disease. Situation plunges into chaos when multiple genetically engineered sharks go on a rampage and flood the facility. Well, do the sharks flood the facility? Well, I guess they kind of do a bit, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's their idea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. Oh, the sharks bloody made this happen. Yep.
Honestly, this moment.
This has got 56% on Rotten Tomatoes, 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb. So, you know, the critic consensus isn't great. But then, like, when we ask, like, the Horror Hangout group, Johan says, this is just some amazing BS. So many baffling choices, but works so well. It ain't all great, but when it hits, it is gold. Best part is the Samuel L. Jackson speech with the surprise and the ironic ending. Michael says, no way, one of the best shark movies ever made. LL Cool J is a chef with a pet monkey. It means bird. Shark swim backwards. Samuel L. Jackson, it's movie magic. And then John Connolly says, this movie is a popcorn classic. The stretcher in the shark pen scene still gives me shivers. So people... like our people obviously love it. So one of their this is probably the best reaction we've got to any movie we've put on there.
I think this film is pretty iconic, I've always felt. There's so many iconic moments in this. I mean, ridiculous B movie level crap sometimes. Yeah. But some of it's just so, it's like inspired. Considering it's got one of the least charismatic leads like of any film I can think of. It's still like such a great ride.
Wait, so who do you think the lead is? Because
I suppose you've got Thomas Jane and Saffron Burrows, but just the fact that Saffron Burrows is on the poster, I'm going to call her the lead.
Yeah.
Like she's so annoying. There are no redeemable qualities to her whatsoever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Sometimes give someone like a sour answer about something.
Yeah. It's just like it's just so annoying. I just think, God, if she wasn't in this film,
I think it would be a lot better. Yeah, but if she wasn't in this film, this movie wouldn't happen. Because like every bad thing that happens in this film, every bad decision is her decision. Like,
Samuel Jackson should have just been the lead. There. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so I've got some trivia, but like Dan Butcher already sort of blew it on the in the Horror Hangout group.
Yeah, I did see that, and I had heard that before. So yeah, right. I guess we'll discuss this.
So she was the lead, originally, the woman. But then when they found out everyone liked LL Cool J instead, they cut out a lot of her redeeming scenes to make her more like the villain. Because I think he was like, she's more of a Dr. Frankenstein sort of character rather than the hero. But they still use her in the posters, isn't it? And also,
you got them printed, haven't you? So,
yeah, good point.
The main poster is bizarre. Like, let's just discuss the main poster a second. Saffron Burrows is wandering in like what looks like kind of waist deep water. I mean, she's definitely not swimming. She's definitely walking in this water. And there's a shark behind her who's like looming over, at least 3 times the size of the
massive shark head
of the shark in the film, and it's like coming towards her like furiously. But she's kind of just like gazing off into the middle distance, looking kind of unbothered.
Well, now you've brought it up. When you guys first put this poster on the Facebook page this afternoon, I thought that is going to be the best once you photoshopped our faces onto that pen. How good is it going to look?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's going to be like we're all going for a lovely walk.
I also don't like on the poster how like the title of the film and the tagline are kind of like in the same font. So you're like, what's the title? Is because if the film was called Bigger, Smarter, Faster, Meaner,
Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea. I mean, which one's which? Like, it needs to be bigger. It needs to be like red or something. I don't know.
Just getting the poster up now. But is that one I put on the Horang group the main one? Is that like the main poster that you
used? Yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
So. Yeah, she looked. I don't understand where. She looks like she's standing on the back of a shark without knowing it. Or she's like surfing on
a shark. There's like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing. I mean, I always find really over-edited film posters are a bit annoying anyway, but this is just...
Yeah.
There's like a DVD cover which has got Thomas Jane sort of like aiming the harpoon thing, sort of. And that looks good.
See, I thought Thomas Jane was the lead. Like, when I was watching this film, I was like, he's the lead character.
Yeah,
I just kind of thought all the other characters were... It's funny because they do say, one of the characters says about the Thomas Jane character, oh, this guy, he hardly ever says anything. Just like grunts and stuff. He doesn't shut up.
Yeah.
Like he talks more than any other character.
Yeah. It's all chat.
But yeah. Cool. Yeah, Andy, what's your history with this film? Have you? How many times have you seen this before?
Yeah, I think I saw it at the cinema, like way back because... Go and see any odd shit, like to get out of the house. But after that, I had it. I don't think I ever had it on DVD, but it was one, like Ben, I'd see it when it was on TV and you'd watch it. It was a proper, like, it's 9 o'clock, it's Channel 5 on like a Thursday and it's on. I used to watch, you know, if it was ever on, then I'd watch it. And then I think I tweeted you guys, I was round town picking up my wife a birthday present for end of this week. And I just popped into the computer exchange and what did I see for 50 pence?
50 pence. Did it work? Because every time I get stuff from CEX, 50% of the time they don't actually work.
Yeah, it was bang on. It's it made it all the way through. So I was able to enjoy that film again. I think I've already had my money's worth, but now I've got it to keep.
Is there any special features?
I was hoping for a director's commentary. I thought, I'll watch it through. I'll get really up on my
there is a commentary
trivia. I think there's some commentary on the extra. Maybe I've got a rubbish version of the thing. There are some special features, and I think there might be some commentary on the deleted scenes.
Well, yeah, when I was reading some stuff about this film, I heard that there was a commentary out there that's good, but I'm not sure if it's an official one or what. I'll have to do some research into that. I swear it said it was an official one. I don't know.
This becomes the film we've researched the most. Yeah. Really get into Deep Blue Sea.
this director, what else has he done? Rene, what's his name? Rene something. Harmel.
Rene Harlin. So yeah. He's directed. Where's he directing? Quite a lot. So he directed Die Hard 2, Cliffhanger, Cutthroat Island, Long Kiss Goodnight. That's quite a good.
Cliffhanger.
That's quite a good.
Okay.
He's knocking out all the 90s classics.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger.
He also did Exorcist the Beginning, which was a bit iffy. He also did 12 Rounds with John Cena. Interesting.
So, should we jump into the nitty-gritty of the plot?
That's
cool. So, key players, Thomas Jane, who plays a dude called Carter. He's a diver. He's a shark wrangler. Which is exactly as it sounds.
Yeah.
That's a thing, maybe. I don't know. Saffron Burrows, who was apparently meant to be the lead character, who plays Dr. Susan McAllister. She this is her experiment. This is all her. She wants to save the world from. I was going to say alopecia, for some reason. Alzheimer's.
How would sharks help with that? But
sharks never go bald.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They have exactly the same amount of hair when they're born as when they die.
Samuel L. Jackson, maybe his best role ever. I don't know. Russell Franklin, he's the guy who's funding it all. He's the Mr. Moneybags. Jacqueline McKenzie, I think he's a bit of kind of a throwaway character. Plays one of the doctors who...
I find her a bit annoying.
Yeah, disposable person one.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like Stellan Skarsgård's like girlfriend, I guess.
Yeah,
I think so. Stellan Skarsgård plays Jim Whitlock, who is a doctor. He's a smoker. He's a bit grumpy. And that's about all we're going to get from that character throughout the entire film. I don't think he says more than like one or two lines.
He's supposed to be like a genius, isn't he? But the first time we see him, he's actually pissing into the wind.
Yeah, he is. That's exactly. That's what I remember of him, pissing into the wind.
Michael Rapaport. Who, from the name, I don't recognize him, but he's got one of those faces. I think he's popped up in a lot of stuff around the 90s.
Yeah, he's been in like Friends as like a boyfriend and like quite a few sort of 90s things.
He was Phoebe's boyfriend, the policeman.
Yeah, that's true. Now he's like an angry like social media personality. All I ever see is like videos of him just like ranting about stuff. But yeah, he's been in quite a few things like Hitch. Like Dr. Doolittle, I think he was in as well.
Sounds about right. he plays a guy called Tom Scoggins, who is some sort of genius.
He just knows a lot of shit about shit, doesn't he, really?
Yeah.
How many tons can this take? He just knows it all. He got all the stats.
Yeah. He's done his research. Yeah. Old mate. Yeah.
Weirdly, the last character on here that's credited is LL Cool J, who plays a character called Preacher, who apparently is everyone's favourite character, but he appears to be in a different movie for most of the film. Like he's completely separate to everyone until it just works out just right that he's gonna.
He's in the lower deck.
He just turns up at the end, doesn't he? Yeah.
Here's a question for you. How old would you say LL Cool J is now?
Was it? That was 20 years ago, so 51.
He's 50 years old. You're incredibly close there, Luke Gondo.
Yeah. I'm a Scoggins when it comes to actors' ages.
You're a Scoggins.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm trying to remember how the film starts. Oh, yeah, it starts like pretty much like with a Jaws-y sort of idea with some people getting drunk.
Those rotten kids.
And I think I was writing my notes here, and then the first bit when the red wine falls into the into the water, I wrote metaphor in big letters.
little teddy bear gets dropped into the water as well, floating all the way down. That was quite sinister. Yeah. But these are like, these people... Like, there's like, what is it, like two couples?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're just awful, aren't they? They're just like dancing and kind of like flirting and kissing.
I accidentally had the subtitles on. They're not saying anything that makes sense. Like, their sentences are like, one person says, like, music, yeah. And the other person says, I didn't go there. Like, they don't really make, I think they just kind of like put stuff together just to sort of get, you know, some random scenery going on.
But they're just trying to get laid, man. Yeah, they're trying to get laid. They got time for the talking.
And then they get, where is Aquatica the place where they do all these experiments meant to be? Because I was in the impression
it looks
like in the
quite
middle
a flight, doesn't it?
Yeah, in the middle of the sea.
Quite a flight.
Where are these sexy party goers coming from? Like, how far are they going on for like these little?
Depends on, because obviously one of the sharks has escaped the facility, so it depends how far the shark's gone.
Yeah,
being tracked.
He's gone
by
straight
Mr. Shark,
right? He's gone straight for like the party coast. He's gone right. I've escaped. I'm getting in. That reminds you, though, like, if you think about this situation, it's been a while since I was a teenager. I don't know about you guys. Did you put that much effort in? You going out on a date? Right, guys, out to sea. Get the wine.
I'll be like, I ain't got time for that. Down the park with a bottle of White Lightning.
Yeah.
If you're really going to push the boat out, get White Lightning and a can of Foster's so you can make snake bite.
If you're really going to push the boat out.
Yeah.
Or a bottle of the cheapest vodka. Paint strip.
Yeah.
If you really like it, get like some snacks as well.
I ain't got time for that, Andy. Come on. This is madness. I'm not made of money.
So the shark is apparently likes the taste of wine.
He's a real snob when he comes to it, though. He's like, that's a terrible year. What an awful yield that year.
Blue nun, getting the fucking sea kids. Eat you.
Getting the sea. I mean, like these sharks though, like the Mako sharks, yeah. Like their teeth are terrifying. I think that's one thing that's like horrible about
the
these
teeth kind of like come out of
the
mouth.
They got bendy teeth, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite interesting that they didn't use great whites for this shark for this film though.
You think that would have been too Jawsy?
I don't know, but like I don't know if they're like sort of what are genetically engineered sharks, they could have, yeah. They could have done anything really. They could have had a shark with like 12 fins on it.
Yeah.
I guess great white sharks got a better union. You probably have to pay them more.
Yeah.
That's true. It's
a great white privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
why is this?
This Mako shark starts attacking this boat, like shoving its nose against the bottom of the boat until it breaks through.
It's a great hit, isn't it? He knocks them all in the sea with a single knot. Like the one of the girls gets like headbutted in the face. Her boyfriend reels back and knocks them all in.
They all fall in the sea in one fell swoop. Ridiculous. Yeah.
And then as they're trying to get back in, I think there's an underwater shot of some girl's bum as the shark's coming towards her. It's gonna pinch her right on the bottom, and then Thomas Jane swoops in, starts harpooning some shark.
Yeah, the shark punisher. Yeah, there he comes.
Yeah. Wouldn't he kill the shark? Like, I feel like harpoon went like straight, like double harpooned him. Like right into the gut or something.
It sort of double harpoons the shark, but then it just sort of gives up and goes, oh, all right, you've caught me.
It doesn't move. No, it goes like completely like still.
Yeah. He's like captured.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Did he say anything, Thomas Jane? Or does he?
No, I think he just stares into the middle distance.
Grunt.
Gives him a look, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That bloody gotcha.
Thomas Jane's got his hair nice and bleached for this, just to show us that how, you know, kind of a surfery boho look to him, I guess. Thomas Jane, what has he been in before? Is this like his first breakout action hero role?
Obviously, what was Punisher, like 2005, something like that?
I'd say something like that, yeah.
I'm not sure how the dates sync up. I'm not sure if this is before or after. But you only know him from like... Yeah, this and The Mist are the ones I know him from.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see who saw this and went, this guy would be great for The Punisher.
So apparently he was in The Thin Red Line and Boogie Nights and Face Off. Like he must have had a small part in Face Off. Don't remember him that at all. Yeah, interesting. So he's been in a few Hollywood things before that.
Okay, and then
he was in Punisher, having a fight with Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
What did you think to the other Punisher film, Punisher Warzone? I saw that got slated, and I really enjoyed it.
Pretty ridiculous, wasn't it? Didn't he like punch someone's face in?
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I remember.
He bazooka'd a guy doing a somersault.
Did he?
Mid somersault, a guy gets bazooka'd.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So then we cut to what's her name? The woman, the doctor woman. She's trying to make a case to keep the money coming in. She's talking to Samuel L. Jackson. So I noticed something very strange about this film. Samuel L. Jackson's character has like a pet human man. Like in that scene, like he's got his arm around him. It's almost like his pet cat, like his new villain. He's just got his arm around him, and the guy didn't say anything. And
that was somebody. As I know, it was somebody.
Yeah,
but it was
the guy from
Ronnie
RoboCop.
Cox.
Is that the guy from RoboCop? Yeah,
RoboCop, Total Recall. Why would you put him in your film and just have him there doing nothing or saying nothing?
He charges extra.
It makes
for
no
words.
Sense.
Yeah,
that scene would have worked perfectly well with just Samuel Jackson in that seat. Or stood up.
It's weird because it cut to him and then he just made like an uncomfortable sort of face and then cut away.
He must have said something in that scene and they've cut it out because it's almost ridiculous having him in it.
Yeah. But it starts with this, if you think about who makes it out with the film as well, LL Cool J in his own little pet human, I feel like there's a sort of homoerotic interracial...
foreshadowing.
Exactly, yeah.
Homoerotic interracial foreshadowing. I mean, we've discussed that many times in this podcast.
Yeah.
But
I'll add it to the tracker.
Yeah. So she's trying to say, "Don't take our money away, Samuel." What's his name? Runnicott's going to say something, and he gets a little slap. Shut it. And then, wait. So what makes Samuel say, "I'll give you a go"?
She makes a story, speech. Doesn't she? Yeah. About how shitty it is to have Alzheimer's, which is true.
Yeah.
But sort of gets him right in his big old Samuel L. Jackson heart and says, come out and have a look. I know the shark has just escaped and that won't change the fact, but
yeah.
come and have a nose. See what you reckon.
Yeah.
Come and have a ganders.
And then it cuts to them in the helicopter on the way to the thing and he goes, "That was an impressive speech."
yeah. Like they hadn't spoke at all. Basically, he just nodded and came along, waited for them to be like halfway through the journey and he went, "That was an impressive speech."
And they probably had to be at the airport for a couple of hours for the plane took off. Got to check your bags.
Yeah, in the departure lounge.
Yeah.
So then they arrive at Aquatica, which the way they talk about it, I think they were going for the same like grandiosity that you get from Jurassic Park. You know, the sort of like scene with like, "Welcome to Aquatica," and then it just cuts to like a tiny room.
Yeah,
just like a tiny underwater room and some like floating platforms.
Yeah. Oh, this is where he says, "Oh, Alcatraz floats." Because, well,
yeah.
So it's the original one did as well. That was an island.
So Aquatica, the place where they're storing these sharks, is a grid of aluminium, some titanium cages. It's quite deep. There's different floors. But we don't really get
you
to
work,
see...
Do you work for... Like, are you trying to sell it to us? Can we go there this summer, can you? Well, yeah, it's a bit wrecked at the moment.
As old mate Scoggins will tell you, it's especially good for sharks because the mesh is flexible like a net, so they can't get out.
Wait, but they couldn't get out if it was solid, right?
Oh, because it's flexible. I don't know. I'm not Scoggins. I never claimed to be.
Okay.
But that's why they can't get out. Titanium and flexible.
So we get to introduce all the characters around this bit. The doctor who we said doesn't really have anything to do, this is the bit where she has a bit of something to do. She's like, "Samuel Jackson, this is him, that's her."
Yeah, she's just like she's just explaining everything and everyone.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, that's her bit.
Yeah.
Tour guide.
For the rest of the film, you shall be crying and screaming.
Crying and screaming, not wanting to die.
Yeah.
So, not wanting to die, but not trying very hard to escape.
No. There is quite a funny bit here where obviously Thomas Jane's character is in the water. And is it a tiger shark or a bull shark or something?
It's got like a
license plate in its teeth.
Yeah.
And obviously Thomas Jane's swimming towards it to try and obviously get it out. And there's a bit where Samuel Jackson's character sees it and he goes, "Hey! Get him out the water, man!"
That's quite a good impression.
Yeah. He's like watching, like, ooh, trying to see.
Yeah, he was. But then he immediately goes, "Oh, actually, it's all right. He's an expert, isn't he?" So yeah, then we see him. I don't understand how this works. So Thomas Jane's character is swimming away, and then he waits to the pinnacle moment to like turn around and just like
it looks like reflect in a game where it, like that happens, and he goes, "Tap X." You've got to tap X really quick.
Quick time event. You're swimming. Tap X. Oh, God. Tap square. Oh, God.
For a second, when he said, like, a game, I'd gone really old school. And I thought you were talking about, like, the playground game, Grandmother's Footsteps. And he wasn't looking. God. So the shark, and he turns like, oh!
The shark goes, "Got me."
Also, we get the impression that no one likes Samuel L. Jackson. For some reason, I don't really understand. When our big boss comes to our office, we don't always go, "Oh, yeah. We don't like suits." He's funding the entire thing.
It's like, you don't... Interpretation. But the second he meets anyone, everyone's like, "Oh yeah, I'll take on board what you've said to me." You know, whatever. When you're trying to make a connection. Like, he seems to be really trying.
He's like a nice guy.
He tries to be nice to the Punisher. He tries to be nice to LL Cool J, and everyone like listens to him and goes, "Oh, yeah, but fuck you, though, yeah?"
Yeah, that's pretty much the attitude.
Yeah.
Or something, Jackson.
Yeah. But he seems like a really nice guy. And then they take him down into... there's, like, the one big lift that goes down into Welcome to Aquatica moment. And I think it's supposed to be a big, grandiose thing, but it's just a large room.
Large room. That's pretty much it, yeah. That's all we get. And then we do get a bit where Saffron Burrows is kind of like testing one of these sort of things she's going to do on the shark to like extract the protein complex out of its brain.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just have a quick practice on this plastic shark.
Yeah.
And I think,
this is what I'll do. Get in here.
It's weird that she uses that same size thing for the plastic shark, and the plastic shark is like an action figure compared to compared to the real things.
Yeah.
At what time? When do we get to see some sharks? Because I'm sure it's around here where I was like, I think, the CG.
I think at this point, isn't it? It's where Thomas Jane has got the license plate off the shark, off that tiger shark they caught, and then he says, "Oh, we'll go and put that out." And then he goes out and they watch them. They watch them releasing this other shark in with these three others that immediately eat it, right?
Yeah. Were they not supposed to eat it? Was that not feeding time?
No, I think... Did they want to feed the other shark to it? I mean, he seems to put two and two together pretty quickly. He's like, oh, they're like dogs. They only eat other sharks. Wild dogs don't only eat other dogs. I'm not sure where he's getting that from.
Yeah, Thomas Jane says a lot of weird. There's a bit later on when he goes, he makes like a weird hyperbolic statement how they're going to take over the world or something. It's like, no, they're not. They're stuck in the water.
Soon we'll have sharks in every office, in every city.
Yeah. If a shark gets intelligent enough, they'll work out how to use skateboards and then just scoot
Thomas
around.
Thomas Jane was like talking about how they're going to run for the next presidency or something. They're not that smart, Thomas. But, because
this whole film is just a prequel to Street Sharks, basically. sharks get intelligent, become street sharks, world ends.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it.
The only step they had to make between one and maybe that is where Deep Blue Sea 2 is going.
Yeah,
so all they have to take those sharks, make them slightly more radical, and then that's it. We've done it.
And then they wear jeans as well. Street sharks. Yeah.
Retro is starting to tip into 90s now. That's now classed as retro. So maybe they will go all radical with it. Start getting street sharks going on.
Big sunglasses.
Yeah. The reason I thought they fed it to him is because LL Cool J hears a noise and he goes, "Oh, feeding time," as he's sort of baking his cakes.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe they did mean to feed that shark to it.
It's pretty harsh.
I don't remember this bit happening. I was thinking I was looking at someone else, the ceiling or something. I don't know.
They put the tiger shark that they struggled to get at the start of the film. He ran away. And they were
why did they put that? Why did he bother getting the license plate out of its teeth if the other sharks were going to eat it?
Not like maybe completely so the other sharks. Yeah,
don't eat the license plate. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's bad for him.
It seems like a lot of effort. Why couldn't they just get some? I don't know.
Fish.
Yeah,
some fish fingers or the only other sharks, don't they? That's what he says.
Yeah,
that's you reminded me though, because they cut it with the bit where LL Cool J is making his cakes, isn't he? And that was the first thing I thought, because I'd forgotten when I was watching it. And I was like, he's on a like a rig, like aquatic station, and you're the chef with like probably just a couple of scientists and workers. What are you baking? Shit tons of cake.
every time you see him, he's got like massive, like he has got two massive cakes. No one needs that much.
But he's got an abusive bird as well.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I know it's because it coming up is Saffron Burrows' birthday.
That's it. That was a twist that surprised me in the
that
movie.
That was a twist, yeah. Whoa!
You can't throw things like that at me. It should have foreshadowed in the earlier scene, saying, I can't believe I'm at a meeting the day before my birthday.
Maybe that was the foreshadowing when he's making the cakes. You're like, well, what kind of occasion is this for?
Yeah. Got me thinking.
Yeah, definitely. And then he like feeds his parrot like some whipped cream or some shit.
Yeah.
No wonder it's so badly behaved. So much sugar. In his diet, that's not what birds need.
Also, when they do have the party later on, why did he just assume that LL Cool J is going to be the bartender? That's not his job, is it? He's the baker. He's the aquatic baker. I only see him baking. I don't see him make any other thing else.
He wants to chill out like everyone else. He's just like, God, can't wait to put my feet up. And no, get behind the bar, mate.
Well, he was just standing there, and then Samuel Jackson comes and goes, "I'll take a vodka, neat," and just assumes the other guy's the bartender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
bit racist. Yeah. Samuel Jackson.
At some point, we find out that Samuel Jackson was in
an avalanche
at some point. It was like it was a previous movie or something.
Yeah,
they mention it. They mention it two or three times, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe hey, that guy survived the avalanche and the snakes on the plane and the.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
that's the. Maybe this is Deep Blue Sea too. Maybe it's not a Street Sharks. Maybe it's in fact a prequel where Samuel L. Jackson is going to be caught in avalanches and they go, no more mountains for me. I'm going to the opposite, the Deep Blue Sea, the end.
Well, I'll live out my days. Yeah.
Well, I'll do a really inspirational speech to get everyone. Yeah, yeah, I can't wait for that.
So we get to the point where things start to go wrong. They're doing their. Thomas Jane herds. I'm sure this isn't a real job. Like, he goes out and he sort of.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tranquilizes the shark. Somehow, the shark must be like floating and heavy. He somehow gets the shark on a platform.
Oh, he has to trick it, doesn't he? Because this is where you've had a couple of encounters now where they've shown that it's too clever. Old Scoggins has been giving him shit for apparently missing. And he's gone, oh, no, it just took loads to tranquilize it.
Yeah.
And the sharks have swum backwards because Disposable Scientist 1 says, sharks can't swim backwards, having clearly just
even
seen them do it.
Even Samuel Jackson says, tell me I didn't see that. And you're like... Like, if I saw a shark swim backwards before, like, if I knew nothing about this film, I'd just go, oh, that shark swam backwards. Nobody knows that sharks don't swim backwards. That's not, like, a common thing, is it?
I don't know.
Yeah. Come on, don't you know that sharks don't swim backwards? Well, no, I didn't. I've never given it any...
They're more alarmed that they saw a shark swim backwards than the thing that Samuel L. Jackson mentions, was that they recognised the gun. It's like, I just recognised that gun. Shut up about that, mate. He swam backwards.
Yeah. So they...
tricks it, doesn't he, with his air tank. He sends it off.
Yeah.
And then when it's gone, I've got you, then he shoots it, and then he can bring the up on the platform into the experiment room.
Is this, do the sharks eat the CCTV cameras here? Or is that later?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah, it might be now.
Okay. Because he can't see Thomas Jane, so that he goes silent and he might be dead, but then he's not, and he sort of does his job, does a good herding. They raise the shark into this platform. Bit of a heroic moment for Thomas Jane. They start the operation. What's her name? She's been practicing with a. It's like
big old needle.
A big old needle.
Yeah.
She comes up to it like that. All right, and there we go. Straight
gets
into
his brain
the noggin.
Juice.
Yeah. Tastes it. Yeah. And then what happens?
puts on some brain tissue.
She gives it a squirt onto some Alzheimer's brain tissue.
Yeah.
And it jumps up and starts running around.
Like Grandpa
cured!
Joe.
Cured!
Sings that Golden Ticket song. He's got it.
Yeah. And then, so Stellan Skarsgård, he's been grumpy this entire way through. He's like, finally, I get to have my cigarette. After he has a cigarette is when he's kind of calmed down and becoming like a nice guy. And he goes to smoke it and they say, no, you can't have it. But doesn't he light it? I'm sure he has it.
I was losing it. I was like, you can't smoke in like an underwater lab.
Yeah.
There's a really weird bit, like just before, where he goes to smoke before they do the experiment. And like his girlfriend looks at him in a really weird way. He's like, goes to smoke and she goes, it's just like a really over the top like shock face at the fact that he would smoke, and he goes, oh, rah.
This is also the guy who is like, it's like when you've told like your kid what you've got for someone for Christmas, and they like give really shit hints because they've spoke to Samuel L. Jackson at the birthday party about, oh no, we wouldn't genetically engineer the sharks because that's illegal. And then later on, when the shark comes up, Samuel L. Jackson goes, oh, all of God's creations, and Skarsgård goes, not God's creations.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
So then the shark wakes up from a bad dream.
Yep.
Yeah.
And bites Stellan Skarsgård's arm off.
Poor guy. Smoking. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, no smoking. I do hate it when people smoke as well.
Right in your face as well when you're trying to have a sleep.
Right. There's someone vaping on the bus today. Like, is that allowed?
Well, I think legally you can bite their arm off.
Okay. Bad dream. True. What are we going to do about it? Yeah. So then the shit hits the fan. I think he's bleeding out. They get him in a stretcher, get a helicopter radioed in. Now the shit really hits the fan.
I love it just as they're going up the lift where we get a nice bit of dialogue. We said, oh, he should be all right because almost everyone there is a doctor. And it's just not that kind of doctor, almost as if to answer my question.
I like how so the helicopter comes. They get him on the little rope thing. They're trying to pull him up, but then they can't. The ring like sort of traps for whatever reason, and then they just decide to dunk him like a rich tea biscuit, like a tea bag.
In the, everyone's shouting, pull up, and I'm just like, what?
Imagine being Stellan Skarsgård in that moment, just being dunked repeatedly in the shark tank.
Horrible, isn't it?
It's quite lucky for him though that when they gave him like an oxygen mask, they didn't just give him one that would, you know, just go for his mouth as if you were going to hospital. They give him a respirator that will also allow him to breathe underwater.
Yeah.
They knew that they possibly would dunk him.
We don't need this, but just in case you get dunked, they got a real cheap deal on these winches on these helicopters, I know.
Yeah. So a shark grabs hold of Stellan Skarsgård under the water, pulls the helicopter around or something, and then it all explodes.
Crashes into like the sort of communications tower or whatever. Yeah. Kills the woman who was working in there. Oh, I think when everyone got to go home, she should have got to go home as well. What did she need to stay for?
Well, she had to stay and listen to, oh, what song is it? It's like, I can see clearly now the rain has gone. She had to sing and dance about to that until a helicopter smashed her.
Smashed her, yeah. I find it quite comical. I know it's a woman dying. But she kind of went, really flew back. Oh,
yeah. Whoa! Just like a 2 second clip of like helicopter crash. This lady like
screams, didn't she?
Like Sarah Connor hanging onto the fence, just like getting blasted into it.
Yeah. So, meanwhile,
and then we cut that down. So obviously, when that explosion happens, the lab starts like falling apart. Loads of the structure starts falling apart. Down in the lab where everyone is, like ceilings falling down, rubble everywhere.
Everyone gets a bit knocked about, don't they? And this is what inspires LL Cool J to think to himself, all these kitchens collapsed and everything's fallen over, probably spilt the cakes he was making. And he finds the bottle of wine on the side, doesn't he? And sort of think, well, this seems like a life or death situation. Best thing to do now is neck a bottle of wine.
Get a wine down here.
Is he supposed to, because he's called Preacher, is he supposed to be teetotal, and then just that like shaking about has made him just...
Yeah, it's pushed him over the edge.
Yeah.
Why would he have that bottle there anyway? Is it implied later on? Like, doesn't he mention, like, oh, I tried to be a good husband and a good dad? Turns out I was shit. So has he been rubbish? And maybe he's trying to be better, which is why he got really religious.
Yeah.
Really read into the background and the subtext of these deep characters.
Yeah. So LL Cool J, he's still, now he's drinking, but like he's still in his own little world, in his kitchen. Downstairs, I don't think the guys know that things have gone that badly just yet, do they? Until Samuel L. Jackson says, please, somebody tell me that's not what I think it is. Or...
Oh, this is
I think this is my favourite moment.
The film. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a good moment.
Yeah.
So, Stellan Skarsgård is alive. He's floating. And then a shark kind of torpedoes him towards the glass.
Slings him.
Cobs him.
Yeah. Right into the glass.
Yeah. Poor guy. This is maybe the best film containing Stellan Skarsgård being torpedoed that I've ever seen.
It's definitely in the top three.
Yeah, yeah. So the glass starts to shatter. All comes in. Everyone sort of runs away. And I think this is the rest of the film is a lot of this kind of thing. Just to get it to a new level. And then the shark
being washed
breaks.
Away.
Yeah, yeah. So what happens now? So the water's in.
They get the water comes in. They go from standing right by the glass before it breaks to teleporting about 10 feet away, so they're not immediately washed away.
Yeah.
They all run about and try and get up to the top again. Do they just get through the door and seal it again at this point? Right.
Yeah, I think so.
Because then they have to look at the map and make their plan before they go and try any more stuff.
I think it's around here that they say. They find out, they're like, those sharks aren't normal. They've just torpedoed our mate through the glass. And then yeah. I think this here where they find out where Susan is. What did she say? I've been making their brains bigger.
Making their brains juice. Bigger because you can't get enough brain juice out otherwise to cure Alzheimer's. So I give them massive brains and that gives them, so far, we know, number one, the ability to torpedo people.
So everyone's like, I would say fairly obvious that was what's happened. Everyone's like, oh, bloody hell, Susan. Everyone's really mad at her.
Like, bloody hell, Susan, you knobhead.
She's like, ar, ar, ar.
They should have all known because Disposable Scientist 1, her boyfriend clearly knew because he was trying to give the game away before he got done in.
Yeah.
And there's no way if he managed to almost blab to Samuel L. Jackson after meeting him for 10 minutes, who knows how long they've been going out before? You could have blabbed to her on the first day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she takes it the worst, doesn't she? Because her husband's been killed by one of these super smart sharks. But she must know. Like, she must know, I'm sure.
This is where Saffron Burrows gets to say the most. And she's got the same face throughout the whole film, which is like, she's kind of like pouting, but serious.
Yeah.
And also kind of shocked by everything. It's like,
she's like, guys, I'm trying to save the world from alopecia. You don't understand.
I'm trying to save the world from alopecia.
She's really sticking to her guns. It's always like, I'm really fucked off with you, Saffron, for getting us all killed. Well, no, fuck you, because I'm trying to do something really important. She's got a very... If what she was doing was to do a really like hard face, you know, I am stone cold bitch number one around here, then... Great work.
Where is she from? What accent is that?
Was she's it British, isn't she?
Okay.
I thought she was.
Yeah, I thought it was, but it sounded, you know, sometimes you get posh foreigners. She had a bit of that going on.
She's born in London, England.
Yeah.
So, like, new. Of course she was. She's just a posh foreigner.
What happens now? So, I'm sure they just make a plan. They go to different parts of the aquatic water.
Yeah, isn't their first plan to go and get the submarine and go down and under because they can't possibly climb up?
Hmm.
Yeah. They like take the submersible two at a time up through the water. And they'll be all right. It's like, that's all right. They're going to survive. It's going to be fine.
10 minutes, will be out.
So what happens? A shark breaks the door down.
Yeah, shark comes and smashes the door down and floods where they are.
Right.
And they all have a... I don't think... No one else cops it here, do they? They all have a run.
And this is where Samuel Jackson's
That's a little bit...
Oh, a little bit later, right. Okay.
That's a little bit later. Like,
I see.
It's, so right now, the door comes down and the next bit they're in, and this is a recurring theme, like a door will come down, the next bit will flood.
Yeah.
And we showed that happen. And then, meanwhile, on another floor, we see another, like, LL Cool J is going up the stairs and that floods and he gets washed along, doesn't he, and bashed up.
Is this when his bird gets...
I think it's just after this, because I think they all get washed away, they start to regroup and chat, and then I think it does the LL Cool J in the kitchen scene, right, when the shark comes in through the swinging doors.
Yeah.
He's lost his bird for a while, and then it's just coming back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Despite the fact it seems they have quite an abusive relationship, you know, he does want his bird around, he's like, come on, daddy's smiling at you, and then the shark comes up and... Nazim.
Daddy, look at daddy's smile. That bit was quite funny.
So he doesn't get in the oven yet. He gets in the oven a little bit later, right? Or
yeah, it's around now. I think the scene's chopping between the two. It goes to these guys trying to run about from water, and Earl Cool J getting ready to get in his oven.
Yeah, he gets in the oven, and the shark starts. The shark is super smart. So the shark goes, I'll turn it on.
Gas mark free.
He likes the taste of human. So he's stuck in there for a bit. Starts saying some funny stuff, some funny lines. They're like,
chef cooked in his own oven.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he cuts his way through the oven with an axe.
Thankfully, it doesn't make any sparks, causing an explosion. That's quite
exactly.
One of them sparkless ones. Yeah,
climbs out the oven at the top, jumps out, dives past the shark, and then the shark goes, "Oh!" Turns around,
and it does an amazing throw, doesn't he, with his lighter? Doesn't go out, puts his zipper on.
Yeah, surely the zipper must be like soaking wet, right? I'm sure it's been under
he's literally just been swimming.
Yeah. He throws it, the shark explodes. He does a superhero jump, like a slow motion jump away from the fire as well.
Yeah,
gets a little bit of a burn.
You ate my bird.
Yeah. Okay, so
we go back to the other group, and this is where everyone's kind of losing hope a little bit.
Submarine is. And is there a reason why it's not going to work?
It's just like sort of. It looks like it's wrecked. So it's kind of like on its side and like sparking. You think they go and have a look at it to see if it's all right?
It's on its side.
Meanwhile, Samuel L. Jackson's like dipping his toes in the water and just sort of like, why are they standing so close? Why is he sort of paddling around in it?
So they all put on
wetsuits,
all put on wetsuits and they're kind of all ready to just jump in and swim. Is that what we're gonna do?
Yeah.
Disposable scientist lady one says to Saffron, this is your way, isn't it? Yeah, we'd all jump in and swim just like you'd like us to, you bitch. And she's like, I genetically engineered some sharks. I've never been selfish about who's swimming far as I can tell.
Yeah. So Samuel L. Jackson's Scoggins is like freaking out. He's like, quite rightly, he says, you can't outswim a shark. Like, humans aren't fishmen. Like,
You watch me.
He knows the maths. He knows that human can swim this many meters a second. Shark, this many. Look at it. No.
Yeah.
He's got all the stats.
So, for some reason, Samuel Jackson admits the murder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, this is a perfect time for me to admit to murder just before I'm about to murder you lot.
Yeah. I know how to inspire you guys. I killed someone before.
Yeah. We said it was the snow, but it was the murders. So listen to me now.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
how many of you are we going to say got killed by sharks who didn't actually get killed by sharks?
You got killed by me because you were fucking about when you're supposed to be listening.
So this part is actually, you know, the music's swelling. It actually feels kind of inspiring. Did you see? Well, you saw this in the cinema, Andy. Did you scream?
I don't think I screamed. Maybe it's been spoiled. I remember it like got a huge laugh in the cinema when we were watching it because it's a genuine surprise, isn't it? I lived in town with mate. It's a different class of folks. but it's a big surprise, right? I think this is the same as the director knowing some cliches of like classic horror films, which is why like the teenagers in the beginning don't get eaten.
Yeah.
The inspiring speech, I would say second only to Independence Day. it ends very abruptly with him being very sadly awful CGI getting like snatched by a giant shark.
And getting a like the thing about that when people die in this, even though it's CG, I'm able to suspend my disbelief enough to believe that that's them. And they get properly torn apart. Like every single time they sort of like just rip them
shows
in two.
The shows are getting like chewed up. Also, this is a bit where a shark jumps out of like a pool, grabs Samuel Jackson and goes back. There's a bit soon where Saffron Burrows is hiding from a shark standing on a table.
Yeah.
In a flooded room.
Yeah.
These sharks can jump out of the water. I mean, what's going on?
Maybe that's one of the... because there are... Oh, they mentioned it's like two generation one sharks and one generation two.
Yeah,
maybe the generation two torpedoing and improvement two jumping a little bit out the water. Number one's just torpedoing.
Yeah.
It's the abilities.
Okay, so the guys are like, okay, well, I guess we're going this other way. If we open there's like a ladders that go all the way to the top. But you can't open the door because it's pressurizing that room. And if you open the door, all the water's just going to shoot up and fill the room. I don't understand how that ladder would be, you know, useful in any sense of the word then, because you can't open any doors. But they go, we're not going to swim. So Scoggins is like, open the door. The water pours in. They start climbing. Around this time, it's like, we've got too many characters now. We need to start fitting them down.
See, this is the bit I enjoy as well. Like just before the terrible accident happens, Thomas Jane sort of says, "Oh, okay, well, the water's coming up, and we can see the sharks swimming around at the bottom."
Yeah.
This other floor isn't quite flooded, so if I open the door, then the water will go in, and we'll have longer to climb. So he goes and does that, but then everyone else literally stands still on the ladder and watches it.
Also, that room was pretty full of water. I thought it seemed to rise the waters pretty quickly.
Yeah, loads of water comes out.
Yeah. So as they go to the ladder sort of falls away. It's the perfect like shape to sort of get caught like that. So horizontally,
yeah, you couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
On purpose, could you?
Yeah. I can't remember her name now.
Janice, I think her name is. Short blonde hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
She falls in the water, starts giving it the old, I don't want to die, someone save me. And then she sinks underwater, and you're like, oh, what's happened? And then she comes out heroically, but she's being eaten by a shark.
Yeah. She's in a shark.
It's like
when
you see people in Florida, like, riding on dolphins' bottle noses. They sort of ride out, but she's being, like, eaten at the same time. So she dies. That's her done. Yeah. I think the rest of them are about to die. Because they can't reach the top, and then finally the story sort of come together, and LL Cool J just happens to be there,
heroically pulls them up, doesn't he? Because like, the others have given up, no one's tried getting anyone's shoulders. They say to Scoggins, is there a way up? He goes, nah, it's too high. And because
too high, it's all over.
And he's defined it early in the story, doesn't he? He says, oh, you trust me, and why is that? Because I'm trustworthy. So now we know if he says something,
yeah,
don't go against it. That's just how it is.
Should we not just reach? No, don't.
Can we not try really hard to climb? No, I've said it's too high.
I've done the math.
Yeah, it's up there.
Yeah. We don't actually see them get up. We just it does like a little smash cut to the next like 10 minutes later, and they're sort of wheeling in the tidal load of sheets together or something. That the door climbed up on.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's the door sort of goes. Yeah.
Good job that the water slowed down coming up while he got all those sheets and knotted them together.
So what happens here? Because I got confused. Because they're basically out, right? But then...
they've got to go up one more floor. Mm-hmm. Your boy Scoggins says, oh, if we go and switch on these pumps, then we'll be able to pump the water out of one stairwell, which we'll be able to climb up to the top with.
Okay. So then Thomas Jane and Scoggins go to do that.
Yeah, they go. They have a little heart to heart in the thing. First, he has a chat with
you, my boy, Scoggins. There's a lot of that kind of.
Yeah, so we are best mates. So we will go and
we are going to be best mates.
He didn't even worry.
About,
best mates, but he didn't even worry about him when everything's going on. When they're ready to get into the submarine, no one goes, "What about LL?"
Yeah.
No one says anything. No one goes, "Well, what's Preach doing? Where is he? Hope he's all right. We got to get down to him." They don't care. They're ready to abandon him.
But now they're all together. They quickly abandon him again, don't they? Because best mates, the Punisher and Scoggins, go off to deal with a generator and say, "Preach, you stay here with the scientist lady." And she immediately goes, "Right, I'm fucking off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go and get my research."
Another bad decision from Susan.
Yeah. Yeah, Susan says, "I'm off to get my research because otherwise everyone will have died and it'll be a waste." And Preach points out very aptly that many, if not all, deaths are a waste.
Yeah.
Gives her a little something to think about while she's going off.
And then he starts vlogging.
Yeah. It's another one of my favourite bits. It's like
about how to make an omelette.
Yeah. Many people add milk. This is a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, who does that?
Yeah.
Amateurs.
I used to until I realised it was a mistake.
You'd watch Deep Blue Sea.
It was yesterday when I watched this film.
Like, oh, fuck.
What have I been doing with my life?
So, unfortunately, Scoggins is not long for the world because they go and turn some electrics on or something.
Before he eats him, it has another one of my favourite bits. They're all swimming together and they're going to turn the electrics on and they see old Skarsgård. He's dead now. He hasn't been eaten. He's just still floating about on the on the stretcher, isn't he? And Thomas Jane sees him under the water and has to swim to the surface to scream because he's been he's been given quite a fright. And he swims to the guy and goes, "Ah!"
He holds the screaming.
Yeah, is this the bit where looks like his head's going to get stuck in the thing?
Yeah, he puts his head up in the pipes and screams, and then Scoggins comes up and goes, "I thought you were coming back for me," and he goes, "No, I've just come up here to scream."
Just come up here to have a quick scream.
Yeah.
Okay, now we'll go together like best friends should. And they go and put the power on. But then then Scoggins eats shit, doesn't he? He gets eaten.
We'll probably see it happen again in the bad CG way, but he probably gets mauled. And then Tommy Chang goes back. And I'm sure there's some point when they say, "What about Scoggins?" And they do the very cliche.
Like, don't
he didn't make it.
There's a lot of this. I swear, there's a few moments where people don't do that. People like don't like someone. Two people go off. One person comes back. I swear, there's a point where LL Cool J doesn't say anything. He just kind of assumes.
Oh, they're probably dead.
Oh, on your own, are you? Well,
say no more.
Yeah, and then he's like, "Where's Susan?" And she went, "Oh, classic Susan," and she's gone off again. She's got some more trouble. Yeah.
Gone off again to be selfish.
I didn't go with her. I figured leave her to it.
Yeah.
Because no one would do it.
Thomas Jane's like, "Oh, fucking Susan again." So he goes to save her. She has gone to get the research.
She gets given a fright by the action figure, which is floating around.
Yeah.
If I was going into that room, that's the first thing I'd think of. Remember, there's that figure in here, action figure. Don't get scared by it, whatever you do.
Yeah, never live that down.
She does a little dance on a table to get away from it. So the way she does dispose of this shark, she puts a wetsuit in a pile underneath her feet, and then she kind of electrocutes the water. Would that not electrocute her?
Would a soaking wetsuit effectively ground you from being electrocuted?
On the top of like a bed, like it's on the water as well, isn't it? Or it's in the water or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's on a table on a wetsuit before you whack like a mains cable, which is just attached to the wall of your bedroom into the water. But now, I've said this before, I'm not Scoggins. I don't claim to be. But pretty sure if your wetsuit is soaking wet, it'll still conduct electricity. Doesn't matter how much rubber it's made out of.
Yeah, because it's just as long as water is touching more water, it will just travel through.
The water is connected. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, it doesn't hurt her for whatever reason. The shark gets electrocuted and then dies. And then there's one shark left now. Thomas Jane I don't think he does save her. I think she saves herself, and he says,
"She just rocks up, and says, 'Oh yeah, I've got the research. I killed that shark.
I got the research. I'm fine, guys. Don't worry about me.'"
And then,
"Don't worry about me. I'm definitely surviving to the end."
Yeah. Okay, so then they go up to they make it up to the roof and to the ground level.
They have to shoot themselves up, don't they? Because for some reason the plan.
Oh yeah.
They're gonna have to go through the water, so they use Thomas Jane's plan from earlier when they set off all those air tanks.
Yeah.
And then they head up, and LL Cool J does like a cool little prayer, doesn't he? He talks about carrying a big stick and being the baddest motherfucker and
doing all
this stuff. And then they all say amen while the water goes. And then just when the water's still about up to shoulder height, Thomas Jane says, "Right, take a breath now." It's like, I've got about another minute. Take a breath on three.
They're like red faced by the time it gets to the chin. Okay, so then they swim up, the sharks go for the bait, doesn't get them.
And they're up on the side, and then they realise that was the shark's plan all along. Because then Thomas Jane points out, like, they've been using this to flood the thing, because this bit of fence isn't titanium, is it? This is only steel.
Doesn't make any sense.
How would the shark know? I mean, it's a bit smarter, but it's not going to like know facts about.
It's been reading like the structural, like the blueprints.
Yeah,
maybe I'll just listen into. An informative podcast that Scoggins puts out about the structural integrity and makeup of
Inside Aquatica.
The shark prison. Yeah. Inside Aquatica by Mark Scoggins.
Yeah. I wish there was a bit at the end of this film where the shark, you know, when it's got, what's his name, in the foot. You know, the end of Planet of the Apes where Caesar says a word. I wish there was a bit at the end where the shark said something that was like half a word where you weren't quite sure.
Yeah. Or like that bit in like Jurassic Park 3 where it's a dream. And there's a rat. Hello, Alan.
Alan!
Yeah. So it attacks. The shark gets LL Cool J, but he uses the power of Christ and a big sharp stabbing
him
in the eye.
With some Jesus, doesn't he? Gives him some Jesus right in the eye. Lets him go.
Then it's like
trying to escape, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then it's trying to escape. So obviously Thomas Jane is like, I'm sorry, Saffron Burrows, like, we can't let it escape because it's going to go and cause havoc out there in the world.
It's going to go and then become a street shark.
This bit's a bit ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, what we know earlier, so the woman, Saffron, is supposed to be the main character. He's supposed to survive all the way through. Did they just film this afterwards and like, well, people didn't like your character, so you have to die?
I think this is the same as they're going against the conventions, aren't they? Because they did it with the kids at the beginning. They did it with old LL Cool J even says, like, oh, I'm never going to survive anything like this. But he's doing all right for himself. So
yeah.
I'm not sure. Is it a choice because they reduced the character? Do you reckon they decided to also kill her as well? Or do you think she was always going to die?
Well, I read that she survived in the original cut.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, yeah.
Decided to cop it as well, all right.
Yeah, so maybe she made it out and they just thought, because there's a point where she gets in the water and then the shark comes and it's all CG from that point and it rips her to shreds. I was like, genuinely surprised at that bit. But if there was another cut, they might have had another shot they didn't use of her getting away and sort of climbing out.
Yeah, I thought at first, like, okay, she's just sacrificing herself and she intends to die because she gives herself a really nasty cut on the hand, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Like the rustiest thing she can find.
Definitely got tetanus if you make it out.
Jumps into the water and sort of swims towards the shark. And you think, just sacrificing herself. But then she does try and get out, but not until the shark's about 2 meters away from her. She's like, oh, get out.
Yeah. Waits for it to get there and goes, gotcha, I'm getting out.
The handle breaks, so she can't climb, and then it's over.
And but, she just gets eaten.
Yeah. Mold. And then so it ends with Thomas Jane doing his special maneuver. He gets his combo buttons in, and it looks so much like a special move on a game. And then LL Cool J harpoons him in the leg through the shark fin.
Yep.
It's all connected to some sort
a battery.
Of
sticky
battery, some dynamite or something. And then it explodes. And so we end the film. We started the film with Samuel L. Jackson and his pet white man. And then we end with LL Cool J and Thomas Jane, the start of their relationship.
Yeah. And also, it's going to be awkward because are they going to be best friends? Because Goggins was his best friend until quite recently.
I think they'll move in together and then about a month later, we're like, this isn't really working.
Yeah, it was a high-pressure situation when we got together. We haven't actually got that much in common.
You don't talk to me, Thomas Jane. You only grunt. You don't tell me when you've got a problem.
We're having PTSD every time one of them has a bath.
Yeah.
Also, we get a great end credits song there, don't we? LL Cool J's Deepest Bluest. My hat is like a shark's fin is one of them. Can I just read out some of the lyrics briefly?
Yeah, yeah.
Please do.
So, man-made terror, hungry jewels of death. You don't cross my depths. I'll pause your breaths. I'll cause you to sink down 40,000 leagues, bleeding to death with no arms and short sleeves. A world's deep blue, killer's gotta eat too, looking for human flesh to rip my teeth through. Other fish in the sea, but barracudas ain't equal to a half-human predator created by a needle.
I like it. It's quite good. Very poetic. I like how they were like, well, Will Smith's been doing pretty good as the quippy black guy who raps the theme song at the end.
Yep.
Let's get LL Cool J to do that.
I want to get on board with this.
Yeah.
Just before the song starts, isn't LL Cool J's last line of the song, oh, geez, I missed the ghetto? And it's like, well,
yeah.
despite its, the evident socioeconomic problems of living in an underprivileged area, most areas safe on dry land are going to be better than being eaten by a shark.
Yeah,
100%.
100%. Thomas Jane's just going to go back to prison or whatever.
Oh, yeah, because that job is the condition. We never covered this, did we? I'm not sure if he's joking or not. It's a condition of his parole. Because he used to be
a shark wrangler.
He used to smuggle and said, right, you're going to use your swimming and going for shipwrecks for good.
Yeah.
You're going to wrangle sharks, otherwise back to prison.
And he's like, isn't that incredibly dangerous? Am I not going to die? Well, you're pretty good at swimming, though.
Yeah. How fast can you tap the X button? Pretty fast. You'll be fine.
Okay, so should we jump into some trivia?
Aye.
Okay. Ready. Well, the first one, we've already kind of blown out of water. In the original cut of the movie, Susan made it out alive, true or false?
That is true, isn't it? That is true.
It is true, yeah. Okay, number two. For one scene, Thomas Jane had to actually swim alongside a real-life shark, true or false?
Cool. How can you make the shark go a certain way? Unless it's bait. False.
I'm going to mix it up and go true.
Yes, true. He was only allowed to shoot that scene once he was contractually only allowed to shoot that scene after he'd shot all the other scenes, just in case. Just in case that went bad, yeah.
I just be like, no. If that's something that you're writing into my contract, no.
Did it say what type of shark? Was it an action figure shark?
I think it didn't say. It did say real life shark. So, I don't know. A nice shark, maybe. I don't know.
A nice one.
Yeah. Okay, number three. The three sharks are killed in the same ways as the three sharks in Jaws, Jaws 2, and Jaws 3D. True or false?
False.
Well, the internet says true. The internet says the first one is blown up, like in Jaws. The second one is electrocuted, like in Jaws 2. And the third one is incinerated, it says, which I guess just means really blown up.
That's a stretch.
That's loose, the internet, because it's electrocuted, I'll give you.
Yeah.
But the first one, it should be compressed air.
Yeah.
It's an air can. And the third one should be, is it a grenade?
I don't know. I didn't understand how it works.
A grenade in Jaws 3, I think.
Okay. But would you class it as being incinerated?
No, exploded.
Okay. You've got this question wrong, but you might be right. So it's, bit of both.
It's the moral victory.
Yeah. Number four, to get into character, Thomas Jane bleached his hair with bleach that contained actual shark urine. True or false?
I don't want to go for three falsies, but false.
Yeah, I'm gonna join Ben on the false this time. So that just gives me a feeling.
That was false. It was just some bullshit I made up. the last one. Can you guess the body count in the film?
Oh God! 1, 2, 3.
Closest answer wins.
9. That's a guess.
I'm gonna go 6.
It was 9. Four by shark attack.
Oh shit!
Four by explosion and 1 by drowning. Oh, there's a bonus point. 10 if you include the bird. Yeah.
Well, there were two different. All two different birds as well in there, apparently.
11 if you include the tiger shark.
Oh.
Yeah, but it says 9. It's the actual number is 9. Okay, that's that. Well done. I don't know what the scores were. I think you did all right. Yeah. We need to grade the film, though.
Oh.
I went. Well, you know, I was thinking, how's it compared to cat people? So
I'm assuming you're going to say not as favourably.
So Andy, you've got a grade for us.
It's really tough because if you compare it to the rest of the list, like horror films that are genuinely, you know, cream of the crop stuff, it's hard to say and compare a film like this, which is in many objective ways quite bad. But I do enjoy it an awful lot. Like, yeah. I could sit down and watch this quite regularly because it's just stupid and fun. For the sake of some type of consistency, I will give it a C plus.
Okay. What do you reckon, Ben?
But in my heart, it's like an A.
Yeah, I reckon I might go slightly higher just because, as I said, I would sit down and watch this whenever it's on TV. And not many films kind of grab me like that. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun, isn't it? I mean, it is ridiculous. It's a lot of fun. I like shark films. B minus.
Wow. That's pretty high. Well, I was, when we said we were going to watch this, I was like, oh, it's going to be a D or something. But I had a lot of fun with it. And I was going to give it a C minus.
A C minus?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So,
let's see.
Andy, I think you're joining us for the next one as well, right? Are you going to?
Yeah, if you guys are going to round off another trilogy, I'll come and join you for Freddy.
Yeah,
old Fredwood.
I think it's number 13 on the list, maybe 11. I might be getting that completely wrong. We're nearing the top 10 anyway, and the next one is A Nightmare on Elm Street, which surprise wasn't in the top 10 of all time, but. Yeah, I've not seen it for 5 years or something like that.
Oh, God, good memory.
I might be completely wrong.
I've not seen it in a while over now.
Yeah.
I have to do a correction next week. Sorry, guys, I've done the maths. It was 5 years, 3 months.
So, Andy, have you been on the show a few times? We don't generally like plug stuff, you know, that we're working on, but you have got something very horror-related. So I thought if you wanted to... feel free to plug something.
Absolutely. On the day of recording, we just dropped a trailer for one of the stories in our first horror comic anthology that we're putting out. Rather than describe it, if you're interested, that sounds like it's your cup of tea, then check it out. Follow us at Horde Comics on Twitter. You can see the video and everything on there. So, I mean, you guys have seen it, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to talk about myself.
Yeah, man.
We'll big you up. It is very good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested. Like, I'm looking forward to it being finished. Well, we're just about done now. We've just got some supplementary pages to write up and then hit on the Kickstarter for a little bit of printing money and then be in everyone's hands.
There's a character called Mr. Business. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Chris Business Foster, who is
Business Foster.
Named after, and despite the fact that we didn't send a picture to the artist, looks exactly like my friend's older brother, because he is also the inspiration for it, because he's like, when we were growing up as teenagers, he was like a young adult, and he had an office job and had like a shiny suit and everything like that. So just from the character description, it came back, and I had him in mind when I wrote it because I named it after him.
His name was Chris Business Foster.
Yeah, his name is Chris Foster, but I'm not sure if his middle name is Business. I mean, it should be.
Might be.
Might be something else. Might be Jacob. Might be Sam. Who knows?
Or Business.
Might be Business. Yeah.
go follow at Horde Comics on Twitter to check all that cool stuff out. Okay, so the show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Cowman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a rating and review in iTunes. And remember to hit subscribe. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
And, thank you.
Thanks. This is the longest episode we've done, I think. It's like an hour and a half long.
Quality film.
Jeez.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.